I'm Alan Smale, and I write alternate history, historical fantasy, and hard science fiction. Most recently, and very exciting for me personally, I have Hot Moon, which is my alternate Apollo techno thriller with heart, and that's set entirely on and around the moon.
This is the first episode of a series with Alan Smale. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Alan Smale. He's a brilliant mind whose passion for science fiction was ignited by the Apollo moon landings, shaping not just his childhood, but his entire career. As a research scientist at NASA, Alan has masterfully blended his deep astrophysical expertise with a talent for crafting riveting, scientifically grounded stories. His latest work, Radiant Sky, Apollo Rising, Book 2, continues his exploration of an alternate history where the Cold War extends into space. A gripping narrative that showcases his ability to make complex scientific concepts accessible and thrilling. With a career that spans writing hard science fiction, historical fantasy, and over 40 published short stories, Alan's contributions to the genre are as vast as the cosmos he studies. Beyond his literary achievements, he is also a key member of the Chromatics, a vocal band known for their unique blend of music and astronomy. Alan Smale is not just an author, he's a true Renaissance man whose work continues to captivate and inspire. Hey, Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, you know, this part about the moon landing being a huge impact on you, I was wondering, what was it like to grow up in your household at that time?
Yeah, it was a very exciting time. One of the problems, of course, was that everything was time shifted. I grew up in the UK, so a lot of things happened when I was supposed to be in bed. But fortunately, my parents were a little lenient on that score, since this was, after all, an educational activity. So, my parents were excited about the moon landings, about all of that kind of stuff. My dad was an engineer with a British TV company, but he was always interested in science and technology. And as a kid, I had my own microscope, and my dad and I had a telescope, little telescope, that we'd used to take out into the back garden to look at the moon and the planets and stars and such. So I kind of had the background to appreciate the space program just going into it, and I was always excited about it.
Wow. Wow. So you grew up with sounds like an intellectual dad, and you were well supported with your, if you will, what could in some circumstance are peculiar hobbies, but this is the way your family was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. My parents didn't go to university or college, and there wasn't really any tradition of that in my family, but they were certainly very interested in the world about them. They were very keen. They, you know, went and they were interested in history as well, and we'd go to historical sites. We'd go to the Roman remains at Hadrian's Wall and things like that. So I was brought up in a very intellectually curious household, even though it wasn't really like an academic household as such.
Oh, cool. Did you grow up with science fiction on the bookshelves?
Yes, I did. I was always interested in science fiction. I was a big fan of the TV shows, the British shows like Thunderbirds and UFO and Doctor Who, of course, and Star Trek. And so I was a big reader of what was then kind of classical current science fiction, things like Heinlein and Asimov and Larry Niven and various other things. So, yeah, I grew up reading a lot of science fiction.
Was there a certain point in your life where you decided to become a physicist?
I'm not really sure about what age I was. I think I was always interested in science. That's obvious. I think I was more tended to the physical sciences than biology. I was always interested in space and the hard science kind of things. So I think I'd been interested in that all of my life. I was also interested in English when I was a kid. I loved English at school, and my English teachers wanted me to go forward into that side of things. But I always knew that I wanted a real career, if you like. Not the careers in English aren't real, but I wanted something in science and technology. I really wanted to do something with that sort of background. I did actually consider degrees in aeronautical engineering or meteorology or things like that. So I did kind of poke around at other specialties and joint degrees in physics and astronomy. But I also had it in my mind for a long time that I wanted to go to Oxford University. And nobody knows where that came from. My parents never pushed me in that direction. Like I said, my family never had a big history of going to universities or anything like that. But that, I had to choose either maths or physics. And so I went with the physics side, and I was very glad I did. So that seems to have worked out well for me. And as it happened, as I went to Oxford, they were just establishing first year and third year options in astronomy and astrophysics courses. And so I took those as well.
Wow. When did you start writing? Did that happen during college, before college, after college?
Really before and after. I really didn't have much time during. I can't remember a time when I wasn't writing something or other. When I was very young, I used to write rip-offs of Tarzan and things that would be called fanfic now, generously in my case, called fanfic because they weren't very good. So I was writing Star Trek fanfic and things like that. I actually thought my Tarzan rip-off wasn't too bad. It was called The Mountain Children. And I had like stories of a James Bond character who worked for as a troubleshooter for an oil company. I'm not sure why. I guess I was just interested in how oil and petroleum was made at that time. So that was the background for that. And I did write some stories set on the moon and Mars. So I wrote a lot as a teen, and then I kind of stopped for a while I was establishing my career while I was doing physics at college and a postdoctoral position that I then went and did. So really, it was in my early 30s when I started picking it up again and said, you know, I've always wanted to write, and now I'm established. I'm in a place where I'm going to stay for some time. I have the job. I know what I'm doing there. Well, as much as anybody knows what they're doing when they're 30 years old and in their first real major job. And so then I started to write again. I started to write short fiction again at that point and try to get it published in American publications. By that time, I'd moved to the United States. I moved to America when I was 28. I came to the States for a job at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And originally, I only planned to stay in the U.S. for about 3 years, but one thing led to another, and I'm still here, and I'm a whole lot older than 28 now.
Cool. That's cool. Did you get an advanced degree when you were in England?
Yes, I did. I got a physics bachelor's degree, and then I stayed at Oxford University in the astrophysics department and got a DPhil, which is the equivalent of PhD, a doctor in philosophy there. So I got that. I did a four-year, it took me 4 years to get my PhD. Then after that, I went to the Mallard Space Science Laboratory, which is part of University College London, although it's actually in the South Downs, quite a way south of London. So that was my first postdoctoral position. And then I came to the United States, to the Goddard Space Flight Center, for my second postdoctoral position, which then turned into my entire career.
Nice. Your path is, I only got a master's, but your path is similar to mine in that once you were settled down at work, so my story there is once I was settled down at work, I kind of wanted this more creative outlet because when you're at work, you're really working on somebody else's work, you know, and which is fine and getting well paid for it. But sometimes you want something that's even more creative than what you can normally execute at work. And writing was kind of my outlet. Is that kind of similar to your story, or do you have a different way to get into that?
No, it was the chance to have a creative outlet. And one of the things that was interesting was that at the time I wasn't writing hard science fiction, because hard science fiction was like too much like the day job, right? I was studying astronomy and astrophysics. I was very much in the space science world. There was a lot of space science going on around me. I never worked for the Human Spaceflight Program, but I was very aware of it. I was aware of what Goddard was doing in that area and all of that. So writing hard science fiction at that time would have seemed a bit close to the day job. So mostly what I was writing was fantasy, some science fiction, and I really kind of then started writing a lot of alternate history. And people are always seem surprised when they find out that I'm an alternate history writer with a hard science background, because they wouldn't expect things to be that way. But yes, so writing the alternate history, writing the historical fantasy was kind of a break from the day job. It was something completely different. I was doing research into completely different areas, and it was a lot of fun. And so that's really how I got established as an alternate history writer. And then later on with the Apollo Rising books, those my two paths converged again, and I decided it was time to write that hard science fiction alternate history that I always figured that I would do one day.
Sci-fi thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... One, two, three. Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirt who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice.
If you're listening to this show in a podcast player, you will find show notes that zip right into your device. If you don't have a podcast player and you want to see the show notes, go back to where you downloaded the MP3. Next episode, more Alan Smale.
Like I said, I always knew that I wanted to write an Apollo book. It was always in the back of my mind. I always knew I wanted to delve a little more deeply into, like, the nuts and bolts of the space program. I knew all about the human stories because that's what you read. That's what you know about. That's where most of the books, where most of the books that I have were aimed. But I was also interested in the technological side, having a science background. And I really wanted to know a little more about the technology, just how humans really did get to the moon, how the technology that took them there and what things worked well and what things didn't work well. So I really like diving deep into that.